In the book of Romans, Paul talks a lot about sin, and that sin is the problem. The world is broken. It's a broken place, and it's because of sin. And he talks about it, Adam, you know, the first sin broke it. But he also talks about the fact that even if Adam hadn't existed, I would have broken it. We, each of us, are sinful, and by our sin, we break the world on a daily basis. And so he talks about how much sin dogs us. I mean, just it enslaves us. It's something that we continually have to try to battle, and we feel like we're not in control, and we can't stop doing the stuff we don't want to do, and we have a hard time doing the stuff, the good things we do want to do. And so that's hard. But then even harder is everybody else sins too, right? And so we're having to deal with a broken world where there's hatred and there's racism and there's oppression, there's murder. You know, we're just surrounded by it. I don't even like watching the news anymore because it seems like the newscasters always want to talk about the bad stuff, right? And so it's just hard, right? You feel beaten down. You feel like, man, this is hard. This is really hard to live on the world, in the earth, and to try to overcome. So that's kind of the picture Paul paints in Romans, is that's what it's like. But he does have some great news. In Romans 8, in verse 31, first of all, leading up to this, he talks a lot about God knew when he created us that this is how it was going to be. Because he gave us free will. He gave us the choice to decide what we wanted to do with our lives. And he knew that, as the Bible said, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have gone after our own selfish desires. And what that creates is what we see today. But because God knew that was going to happen even before he had created us, and because he loves us so much that he wanted to have a relationship with us, but the only way for that to work is to solve this problem. It's to fix it. How does that work? Well, Paul sums it up really in Romans 8:31, where he says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can stand against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns?" Guy Hammond, when he was here, he talked about just recently, when in his 50s, he realized he had negative self-talk about, you're a loser, you can't win, you're a mess, you're always, you know, messing up. Don't we all have that? Isn't that always there, haunting us? Guy said it wasn't until he was in his 50s that he realized that could be false. That could be a lie. Just because I'm thinking it doesn't mean it's true. And so God says here that here's how you overcome it. And this is what Guy even talked about, is you hold on to the truth. And the truth is this: Christ Jesus died. Who died? More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray.